Let's just pray. Father, thank you that we can come together on this Shabbat morning to meet together, to seek your face, and to hunger and thirst for more and more of you in our lives. We worship you, God, today in spirit and in truth. We ask, O God, that you would be glorified as we come together. We would humble our hearts. Lord, as we enter into this very important season on the calendar, a time of repentance, a time of humility, a time of seeking your face, Lord, we pray, O God, that you will just move upon our people. Lord, continue to work in the hearts of our people. Lord, we pray that as, you know, that we would just continue to pray for their salvation, that you would open the spiritual eyes and remove the veil of blindness over the hearts of our people, that they would know the truth of who the Messiah is, and that we would have do our part in proclaiming the good news of Yeshua, Father, to our people and to everyone that we would come in contact with. Lord, we pray that we would continue to reach out in our community and share the love of Yeshua, Father, with passion and with love and with boldness and with confidence, Lord, knowing that you have given us your authority, that we can go forth in your power and your authority, and we can seek your will for the welfare and salvation of people today. We are living in tremendous times today, a lot of turmoil and a lot of strife. And Lord, we know that we are involved in a great spiritual battle against the powers of darkness. Lord God, help us to always be ready to give an account for the hope that is in us. Help us to stand firm in our faith. And Lord God, not to waver because of all the things that are happening around us. That we would keep our eyes fixed on you. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. And so we just thank you, Lord. We just commit this time to you. We pray for this word that would come forth with your power and with anointing, God, that would just touch each one of us. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. You know, this coming evening, Monday evening, will be a special time on the Jewish calendar. We'll be entering into the sixth month of Elul. That begins a 40-day period of preparation, concluding with Yom Kippur, which is the holiest day and the month of the year. The holiest day and the holiest month of the year. And the month of Elul is known by various names. It's called the month of repentance, the month of mercy, the month of forgiveness. And during these 40 days, we'll be challenged with messages on pride and repentance, a call to repentance, a call to forgive, a call to go to those, to make the uncomfortable practice of going to those we may have offended and ask their forgiveness. Of course, none of us have ever, you know, we don't have to go to anyone and ask for forgiveness because we never offend anyone, right? But that's something that we encourage, that we are, you know, we'll be talking about that more as we get into our time together. But I kind of look upon this as our yearly checkup, our yearly evaluation time, a time of reflection, of self-examination, you know, of contemplation. The word Elul means to search. It also means harvest, but it means also means search, which is appropriate because it's a time of the year when we ask the Ruach, the Spirit, to search our hearts. In Psalms 139, it tells us, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Examine me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there's any offensive way within me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So it's a time that we really ask God to really search our hearts. You know, we become a little bit more intentional, especially during this season, where we really desire to really seek God and to ask Him to really search our hearts and reveal those areas in our life that we need to bring into submission to Him. You know, Adonai is concerned about the condition of our hearts. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9, it says that one day we'll all stand before the judgment seat of the Messiah, and we'll give an account of our actions in this life. Each one of us will receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. Let's talk about believers. There's a separate judgment for the unrighteous, but there's a separate judgment for the righteous. And then we all stand before His judgment seat. And they will be rewarded based upon what we do in this life. That's why we enter this season with more of a resolute and a determined attitude. It's a time of the year where we become more introspective, to ask the Spirit of God to search our hearts and expose those areas in our lives that we need to make right with Him and with others. It's a time to be open to change, I know that change is not always easy for some people. We like to stay in the same rut. We like to stay, you know, in the same place. But God always wants us to go deeper. God is an ever-changing God in terms of wanting what He wants to do. God doesn't change, but He's always wanting us to change and become conformed more and more into His image and His likeness. Our goal as a believer is to press on to maturity. That should be our goal. We want to be mature. To pay closer attention to what we have heard so we do not drift away. We're living in a time and age today where there's a lot of people drifting. There's a lot of people who are rootless. You know, and who aren't really connected. That's why it's important to be part of a community so we can really grow and understand what our spiritual gifting is. It tells us in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, to test yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or don't you know yourselves that Messiah Yeshua is in you? Unless, of course, you failed the test. But I hope that you will realize that we haven't failed the test. So Paul is saying, test yourselves to see how you're doing in your faith. Examine yourselves. So there's that aspect of wanting to examine our hearts and asking the Spirit of God to reveal those things in our lives. Then Paul goes on to say, I pray that you will become mature. And how many of us believe that you've matured more since this time last year? Have you grown in your faith? Sebastian, that's good. That's great. Jane, that's great. You know, how is your relationship with Adonai? Are you spending more or less time in His presence? You know, how is your relationship with your spouse? With your family? Is there anybody that you're avoiding in Beth Shekinah because you have issues with them? And this is what our faith is all about. Going deeper, becoming more mature, coming to the unity of faith in the knowledge of the Son of God, as it says in Ephesians 4. So we will not be like children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. There's so many different types of teaching, you know, today. You know, there's so much deception in the world today that we need to really be discerning. We need to really know the heart of God. We need to know His Word so that we're not going to be led astray by every wind of doctrine that is flowing through the body. Because, you know, there are specific doctrines of demons. You know, it says in 1 Timothy 4, whose main purpose is to spread false doctrine and false teaching in the body. And that we need to be aware and discerning, you know, of these things. Because Yeshua said that one of the first things He said when they asked Him, what will be the sign of becoming the end of the age? Beware that no one deceives you. And so we're living in a time of great deception, and so we need to really be rooted in God's Word. We're to speak the truth in love and grow up in all ways in the Messiah, who is our head. So the whole body can be fit and held together by what every joint supplies. Each one of us have a part to supply, to support in the building up of this body. We do it in love. We speak the truth in love. We build up the body in love. Now this week's Torah portion, Rache, which means see, begins with a challenge, a choice. Now life is all about choices that we make. Behold, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Adonai. The Lord described to Israel the blessings that they would experience if they chose the path of obedience. But also a curse if they chose not to walk a path of obedience. Adonai set before His people and to us a clear choice. A clear choice. Obey Adonai and His commandments, and you will enjoy a life of blessing. Or disobey, and you'll suffer the consequences. If we stumble, which many of us do, the path back to God always begins with repentance. Teshuvah. Return to the Lord, your God, with all of your heart, with all of your soul. So the month of Elul is a prelude to God's appointed times. of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot, the three fall feasts that we'll be entering into. And tradition teaches that the month of Elul is particularly favorable, a favorable time for repentance. Because a mood of repentance builds throughout the month until we reach the 10 days of Av, beginning with Rosh Hashanah and concluding with Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It's hard to believe that in 30 days from Monday evening, we'll be meeting together to observe Rosh Hashanah. Just one month from Monday, which is the head of the year, and we'll hear the 100 blasts of the shofar being sounded. And these 100 blasts, these shofar will be sounded throughout all the earth. In every time zone around the world, in Jewish communities around the world, the shofar will be sounded. And it's a worldwide call to repentance. And this year, Rosh Hashanah will be observed on Wednesday evening, September the 20th. And we'll be entering into the year 5778. We'll be leaving 5777 behind us. And that we talked all about that last year. But we're all aware of a unique event that will happen on Monday morning this coming week. You know, over the past few years, we've witnessed a number of celestial events. Red moon eclipses and solar eclipses. The one on Monday will be a rare solar eclipse. I have a handout in the bulletin here. It's a good read on the kind of a Jewish perspective to the solar eclipse. I think it's really good to read. And also on the back of what's special about the new month, the new moon this month. So another good reading here as well. But what is unique about this particular eclipse, solar eclipse, is it will coincide with the beginning of the month of Elul. Is that a coincidence? As we begin to enter into these 40 days of repentance, is this solar eclipse a coincidence that happens to coincide with this time? It'll be a total solar eclipse observed throughout the United States. In Calgary, it'll be a three-quarters eclipse. And so it begins at 10:30 Monday morning and reaches its fullness at 11:33. And, I discovered some interesting facts about this eclipse. Did you know that the moment the solar eclipse begins, the sun will set in Jerusalem? So it'll be dark in America and Jerusalem at the same moment. I'm not sure there must be some kind of connection to that. And there's a number of historical events that occurred in the sixth month of Elul. It's believed that Moses went up on the first of Elul to get the second set of Ten Commandments after the first one was broken because of their disobedience. And he was there for 40 days. It's believed it was during the month of Elul. It's believed that it was the beginning of the month of Elul that Yeshua was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days. And it was believed that it was in the sixth month, the month of Elul, that Jonah preached for 40 days a message of repentance. And it's believed that there was also a solar eclipse, that occurred just prior to Jonah going into Nineveh and preaching his message of repentance. But Judaism teaches that a lunar eclipse and a red moon, in particular, is a warning sign to Israel. Whereas a solar eclipse is a sign to the nations of coming judgment. There are many prophetic voices out there who are saying that this eclipse is a warning of coming judgment to America. There's always, whenever we get any of these celestial events, you always get all these prophetic voices that are coming out, making all these predictions, wild predictions, and sometimes you have to really be discerning. And because sometimes they try to sensationalize these events, and many times they just come and they go and nothing really happens. So we need to be guarded as well. But this past couple of weeks has been, interesting that the only place on earth where the solar eclipse will be totally visible is in the United States, from when it reaches its fullness. And, we know this past couple of weeks have been very difficult for President Trump. He's come under a lot of attack. And there are many who try and discredit him and have him removed from office. It feels like America's almost on the verge of a civil war with all that you've seen happening there. But there seems to be a lot of hatred that is growing in the world today. And there have been a number of terror attacks in the past year. Do you know that in 2017, there were 866 terrorist attacks? 5,224 people died as a result of these terrorist attacks. Yeshua warned us in Matthew 24 that this will be one of the signs of the end times. There will be a spirit of hatred and lawlessness. He said, you'll be hated by all the nations because of my name. And then many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Because lawlessness will multiply, love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. We're facing some tremendous spiritual warfare today. That's the only way that we can explain all that we're witnessing today. We're involved in some tremendous spiritual warfare. And Paul rightly said in Ephesians 6 that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the worldly forces of wickedness, forces of darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. There are four levels of evil. The rulers, the powers, the worldly forces of darkness, and the spiritual forces of wickedness. So we need to put on the full armor of God so we'll be able to withstand against the schemes of the devil. And so we need to be men and women of prayer and to do our part in pushing back the forces of evil and standing firm in the truth, of not compromising the truth, of speaking against hatred and anti-Semitism when we hear it and we're exposed to it. We need to take a stand for righteousness. But you know, Elul is the month where we all call to return to our first love. The name Elul has been interpreted as an acronym. You know, I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to do a PowerPoint today, but the Hebrew letters Aleph, Lamed, Vav, and Lamed correspond to the Hebrew words Ani Li Dodi Vi Dodi Li. I'm my beloved, and my beloved is mine. It's taken from the Song of Songs. It's a scripture that's often quoted in a Jewish wedding ceremony. Next week, Nicole and Rich will be renewing their vows, and Nicole will be quoting this verse from the Song of Songs, chapter 6. And so it's really God's desire for us to return to his first love. And so it's a yearly opportunity for us to return to our first love. And that's why we're going to end our service today by observing the Lord's table, the Shulchan Adonai, to remind us of our salvation and to restore to us the joy of our salvation, you know, for when we first believed, you know, that we would really always value the gift of salvation, that we'd never take it for granted because it came at a great cost. You know, during the month of Elul, it's also traditional to read the story, The King in the Field. And I usually try to read this each year because it is customary to do so. And so I like to just read this story about the king in the field. Like it says on the front of the bulletin, the king is in the field, where are you? Every year during the month of Elul, and this is a story, every month during the month of Elul, the king would make himself available and accessible to all the citizens of his kingdom. Under normal circumstances, when someone wanted to gain a hearing with the king, they would have to go through a lengthy process and follow kingdom protocol. A citizen would have to travel to the capital city where the king was ruling and arrange an appointment in order to get permission to enter and speak with the king. Even if permission was granted, it could take days or weeks before he was allowed to enter into the presence of the king. If he was fortunate enough to be granted permission to see the king, his time with him would be very brief because many others were also waiting to see him. Most of the people were not used to being in royal and informal surroundings and would no doubt feel awkward and uncomfortable bringing the request before the king. However, once a year, during the month of Elul, the king would dispense of his kingdom protocol. He would leave his throne and his capital. He would travel to the various regions of his kingdom to visit with the citizens of the land. However, even a king could not just enter a city unannounced. When he would reach the outskirts of the city or village he was intending to visit, his entourage would set up a camp while a special delegation would go ahead announcing the coming of the king and make preparations for the king's visit. In the meantime, the king was in the field. He was relaxed and eager to meet with his people. And he would dispense of all the formality and all the protocol, and he would provide opportunity for any citizen in his kingdom to come and greet him at any time and talk with him in a relaxed setting and bring any requests to him. And so the story of this parable for us is, if this earthly king was willing to do this one month in the year, how much more do we have a heavenly king who is in the field, as it were, and is always accessible to his people? The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, is available and accessible to all who call upon him. 365 days a year, 24/7. God's always available. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's the King of the universe. Yet he always has time to spend with each one of us. But how many of us have time to spend with him? That's really the question. Adonai says, "Everyone who is thirsty, come. Everyone who is hungry, come and eat. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you'll behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and dine with him and he with me." That's not a salvation scripture, even though sometimes it's used that way, but it's really intended to be for the believer. You know, it's his invitation. He wants to come into our, he wants to come into fellowship with us and sup with us and have that intimacy with his people. Adonai graciously accepts our petition and grants our requests regardless of any month or day of the year. If we come to him with a humble and a contrite heart, he will always hear our prayer. He will always hear our cry. That's why Hebrews tells us we have boldness to enter the King's presence into the holiest place by the blood of Yeshua through a new and living way. We are able to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having a heart sprinkled with clean water from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You know, for all of us who have a relationship with the King, you know, we have this unlimited access into his presence. The only condition in coming into his presence is that we must go through Yeshua. Because Yeshua said, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So if we have such freedom to come into his presence, then we need to make the most of our opportunity. So the Lord is really wanting us, especially during these 40 days, to become a lot more intentional and to become a lot more determined to take some time alone with him and to spend time in his presence and to ask him to evaluate what we've accomplished in this past year and what changes do we need to make in this coming year to see us grow in greater maturity in our faith. Now, during the month of Elul, it's always traditional to read Psalms 27. You know, every day during the month in the Jewish community. And one reason is that rabbis taught that all three of the fall feasts are mentioned in this one psalm, Psalms 27. It expresses the heart of King David to be in the presence of the heavenly King. "One thing I've desired of the Lord that I may seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple." One thing I've desired of the Lord above all else. David was a very busy king. And yet he always found time to be in God's presence. I mean, I always kind of wonder, as we read through the Psalms, because, you know, King David was really the author of many of those Psalms that we really love and we appreciate when we read them. They bring such comfort to us. Now, I was thinking, when did he have time to sit down and to meditate upon God and to write out these inspired Psalms? That he was a worshiper. He says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I shall seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple." That was the heart of King David. You know, there's other customs practiced during Elul. You know, many will increase their time of study and devotion to the Torah. And so it's time that you do a little bit more study than normally. And many will visit cemeteries of their loved ones during this time because it causes them to think about life and death and their own mortality. Others will use this time to check their mezuzahs on their doors and check for defects that might render them invalid and replace it if necessary. So this is the time of the year that you do that. But the month of Elul is also the appointed time of the year to begin, as I said at the beginning of this message, the uncomfortable practice of going to those you may have offended and ask forgiveness for any wrongs that you maybe have been guilty of in this past year. According to the scriptures, God will not forgive us for sins committed against another person until we have first obtained forgiveness from the person we have wronged. You know, forgiveness is not automatic. I mean, Yeshua did place a condition on forgiveness. In Matthew 6, for if you forgive men for the transgression, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. We can't assume that just because God forgives us that we never have to worry about, you know, God not forgiving us. Well, Yeshua said, if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive you of your transgressions. It grieves and quenches the Spirit of God. When we sin against Him and we sin against another person, it grieves and quenches God's Spirit. It breaks our fellowship with God. God wants us to repent and restore that relationship with Him and with one another. You know, to admit that you're wrong, to repent and ask forgiveness, can be a difficult experience for many believers. Because most of us don't like to confront our issues, let alone confronting others. If we've offended them, we try to avoid them. And that's why that's where the idea of gossip comes. We start to sow discord. If we're have an issue with someone, it's easier to talk about someone else than to talk to the person that you have an issue with. But that's a mature thing to do. It's to go to the person you have an issue with and to confront them and to restore that relationship. And so this practice of seeking forgiveness throughout the entire 40 days, you know, is a time that we do this, especially during the 10 days of awe between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And so I say this every year, but it's worth repeating. It's difficult, if not impossible, to go through an entire year without offending or hurting someone by your words or your actions. There's not a single person in this room can say that you've gone through this whole year, you've not offended or hurt someone by words that you've said. Even Yeshua said it's impossible for that no offenses should come. But woe to him through whom they do come. And so it's really a healthy process, you know, for every year for our congregation to take time to evaluate our relationship with God, our relationship with one another. And to really ask the Lord to search our hearts. You know, have some relationships in your life gone sour over the past year? You know, do you have a problem with your spouse? Perhaps you're angry with your son or your daughter, a brother or sister or relatives. Maybe there's someone in the Shekina that you have an issue with and you've just kind of ignored and you haven't really taken the time to deal with it. It's our responsibility to go to those whom we offended and make things right. You've heard it said there are three sides to every disagreement. One side, the other side, and somewhere in between. Because no one side is always right, no one side is always wrong. There's always, and we need to always look upon an opportunity, you know, that maybe there's something in my life why this may have happened, why I may have caused offense, maybe because something in my own life. And so we should not be so quick to point the finger at the other person. Maybe we need to learn from that experience of why it happened. But I've learned from experience that many who have unresolved issues don't often deal with them because of pride, because of stubbornness, and waiting for the other person to make the first move. But the mature thing is for us to make the first move. And so really the fall feast can provide an excellent opportunity for you to wipe the slate clean, to seek reconciliation, begin afresh for another year. That's why I really love the fall season. Because it really does give us opportunity to evaluate our lives and to really, you know, ask God to cleanse our hearts from anything that we may have done. Not that we don't do it throughout the year, but specifically as a congregation, we do it together. And there's something about doing it together as a congregation where we have corporate forgiveness as we go through the Chet prayer on Yom Kippur and as we go through these various, you know, confession of sins. It's something about starting fresh for another year. So I really would encourage you over these next 40 days to spend time with Him. Do some fasting and some prayer. You know, take an inventory of your past year. And what is your spiritual temperature? Are you hot, cold, lukewarm? And how is your relationship with Adonai? What changes do you need to make? And what can I do differently? And what relationships do I need to make right? Make a list. You know, the honey-do list around all the duties around the home. Well, make a spiritual do list. And really seek to look at those areas that you need to deal with. So I just want to close our time before we enter the Lord's table with the psalm that I first began. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Examine me, O Lord, and test me. Try my mind and my heart. So, Father, we just pray that as we enter into this very important season on the calendar, Lord, the season of repentance, God, may we truly be a people that would walk in with an attitude of repentance. That we would be willing to humble ourselves and deal with issues in our own heart, Lord, that hinder us and quench us and entangle us and prevent us from walking in the freedom by which Messiah has made us free. Lord, that we need to stand firm in that freedom and not allow the enemy to come in and to entangle us. And we pray, Father, that as we enter into this season, that we do so with a resolute heart, with a heart that is intentional, that really wants to seek you, Father, of really wanting to change, of wanting to grow in greater maturity, of wanting to embrace you in a deeper way. Lord, of really experiencing all the fullness, Lord, even as this Torah portion for this week. Lord, that we have two choices, to choose obedience or disobedience. Lord, as we walk that path of obedience, you promise there will be great blessing that will come into our life. And so, Lord, we pray that we would walk in that heart of obedience, that we would really, truly seek your face and hunger for more and more of you in our life. We pray, God, for your wisdom. Lord, we know that we're living in difficult days today and that we're involved in this great spiritual battle against the powers of darkness. Lord, help us to stand firm in our faith, to stand firm for truth, to not compromise the truth. And, Lord God, to always walk in a manner that is pleased, make it our ambition to always do those things that are pleasing to you.